providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Continuing on with the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to focus on the resource sector, more specifically on exploration plays, as I am chatting with Steve Totteruk. He is an investment advisor and geologist over at Sprott Global Resource Investments. Now, Steve, as I've had you on the show a number of times before, just to bring everybody up to speed, due to compliance issues, we can't discuss specific stocks that are current. We can discuss past stocks that have maybe been sold, but we can talk generally about what interests you when you're focused on exploration plays and riding discovery stories, because quite frankly, it doesn't matter what kind of market we are in. If you can find a discovery and invest in it early, you can make some very good money. Let's start off, though, with a comment on all the new listings that we're seeing coming into the market. This happens in a bull market, especially in smaller cap companies. Look, a lot's crossing my desk. I'm sure a lot is crossing your desk. What do you filter out initially, and what do you focus on when you do get some of these new listings cross your desk?
Well, like you touched on, Corey, when you get into a bull market, it's just a given you're going to get a lot of guys bringing new companies to the market. And with that, they've got to raise money. So, I see the announcement of new companies coming, you know, on the exchange and starting their new life. But all I can hope is that they spend the money wisely in the ground, trying to advance projects, make new discoveries, things like that. So I don't pay a lot of attention just because a new company starts out. I don't waste my time tearing the company apart, finding out who's running it. I just want to know there's another exploration company out there exploring, trying to make a discovery. So the more companies we have growing, the better.
What about when you're going through some of these decks and you see a lot of these companies referred to either past mining or past drill results or even past resources that aren't 43-101 compliant right now? Does anything jump out to you? Do you focus on either of these?
A new company that's just starting to trade today or recently is in all likelihood not going to have a top quality project. Those were long gone. You know, all the good properties are owned happily by current owners, and they're not going to let them go. You know, we touched on, I think, one of our previous chats about some of the big companies, you know, announcing they're going to sell some of their non-core assets, i.e. deposits or mines that are too small for them. I want to see where those land. So, you know, I am looking for, you know, the announcement one day, you know, on the chance that some little company makes a significant acquisition. But other than that, you know, I sort of refer to those old projects or old deposits as recrets. They were found 10, 20, 30 years ago, and they're still sitting in the ground for a reason. They weren't good enough.
Yeah, and when you hear the company arguing that, well, look at the current metals price compared to where it was, and that's why it'll work now, that's just all too common of simply a promotional tactic, isn't it?
I'd say so. Usually they're going to be smallish deposits, grade is mediocre, and that's not usually a good combination for a successful mining operation.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's talk about where money gets spent then from a lot of these junior companies. Look, a lot of these companies have raised significant amounts of money, and a lot of them are undertaking some pretty significant drill programs. That's why these labs are so backed up. But I was even mentioning to you, I was sitting during the week watching TV as I was catching up on some work at night, and I had BNN on. So that's kind of the Canadian Financial News Network. And I was noticing a lot more advertisements, commercials for these junior explorers. I knew a couple of the companies. I didn't know about some of the other ones. When I went digging into some of them, I was like, wow, these guys must be spending a lot of money on these simple TV ads. That doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in these companies. What do you like to see between a balance of money in the ground, but some money needing to be spent towards promotion to get the story out there?
Right. Well, interesting. Call it sidebar here is, you know, I'm quite involved in some of the higher profile discovery plays in Australia right now. And it seems like the Australian companies spend nowhere near the amount of money on promotion the North American companies do. It's like the North Americans want to spend lots of money promoting their stock, hoping that'll push the share price up, whereas the Australians tend to want to go out and spend the money in the ground, see if they can, you know, find something positive, new material that will move the share price higher. I prefer the Australian way. It shocks me at how much money some of the North American companies spend on investor relations. You know, I want them to tell the story, but you don't need to overpromote as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this even ties into what you've offered to a lot of my listeners is if they want to send you some of the stocks they're interested in or even their portfolios, you can give them your thoughts on those companies. And time and time again, when I get sent companies and even some of the ones that have been sent to you, we see the same names. And unfortunately, it makes me kind of sad to see so many people get sucked into these promotional plays that have been around for such a long time and really have done nothing to create shareholder value. Maybe they've grown their market cap, but the share price really has not gone anywhere. Let's actually talk about true exploration right now. When you do have a discovery hole and companies start to step out, there's a wide range of step out distances that these companies undertake. We see some 10 meter step outs, we see some 100 meter step outs. What actually makes a deposit grow in your eyes?
Well, I always sort of say that, you know, when a company drills that good discovery drill, it's good grade gold over, you know, good mineable widths, whether that's for an underground mine or an open pit, the game is on. They've got to, you know, be able to move the drill over and grow that into at least a 1 million ounce gold deposit to justify building a standalone expensive mining operation. So, you know, you want to find that out sooner than later or as quick as you can, because every hole you drill is costing you a lot of money. So, you know, I like to see meaningful step outs in, you know, call them vein type of gold deposits. You know, after the discovery drill hole, I want to see the drill moved over at least 25 meters and preferably 50 meters. You know, if the company's feeling really strong or they've got some good solid information that they've got lots of confidence, move the drill over 100 meters on step outs. You know, trying to find the ultimate size of the footprint as quick as you can. And then if it looks like you got that 1 million ounces or 2 million ounces, you know, come back and then start to infill or tighten up type of thing. But 10 meter step outs to me is a waste of money.
Yeah, those are more market holes, aren't they? Companies like to promote on the back of those, but they're not doing anything to truly show the scale of the deposit. When you're comparing step-out holes to the initial discovery hole, I know this is hard to answer because every hole is different, but what matters most to you?
I guess the main thing is that the system is still alive. You know, very few deposits are uniform in shape or size. A lot of them, especially vein type of deposits, are almost always going to pinch and swell. So I like to see, you know, even if the discovery drill hole is a good, wide, respectable drill hole, you know, further holes drilled down the road might, you know, pinch or narrow down quite a bit. But as long as it's still a little bit there and it's got decent grade, you know, that's fine. You don't need to hit on 100% of your drill holes. I think if you hit on 60 to 70%, at the end of the day, you should have a good deposit.
Yeah, and it's all about just figuring out the size and the scale of the underlying deposit, right? And when it comes to an actual deposit that you think is workable, either from a mining perspective or saleable to a bigger company, is there a general threshold that you have?
Well, like I said, you got to have at least 1 million ounces of gold. That would be a small gold mine in my books. Like there's smaller mines that are, you know, mining 50,000 ounces of gold or 25,000 ounces of gold. Those usually aren't over 1 million ounce deposits. They're certainly not multi-million ounce deposits. So the first threshold is let's get to 1 million ounces. And hopefully at that point, it's still wide open. So you can grow up to 2 million, 3 million. And, you know, ultimately, you know, plus 5 million ounces for the big home run. But you got to get at least to 1 million ounces.
All right. Well, Steve, we're going to wrap it up there. But again, Steve is offering to take a look at any of your portfolios, give you his thoughts on any of the companies you are wondering about investing in or that you're already invested in. You can send Steve an email direct to sttotterook@sprottglobal.com. I will also post his email in that hour two weekend show posting, or you can send your questions and those companies to me, fleck@kereport.com. and I can pass those on to Steve. Steve, it's great having you on the show. Thanks again for taking some time on this weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Have a good weekend.